Blog Talk Radio. The Lord reigns, let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His sight lights up the wall. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord. Before the Lord of all the earth, the heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all people see him.
Thank you. Thank you. I say, Jehovah Jireh, you are enough, more than enough. We are coming in to preach this word late, but because we were doing some things here in the house. I don't know if we're going to be on Friday because we don't have a preacher. I've got to go out on Friday and do a job down in Boston. It's one of my customers. She has some problems, and she called me this morning. She asked me if I'm ready to work again. I said, yes, I'm ready. You know, I have to go and do some work. People that connect to us through the Lord is hungry and starving, and they don't have stuff to eat. You know, they're barely making it. So the Lord says we will go do some work so we can send some funds to Africa and hopefully to India. We have to do what we got to do. Father, we thank you. We praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for this word that you have given us for your people, Lord, we pray that as we come to your table this morning to eat, to feast, O God, that we would eat to the fullness of our soul this morning. We ask, O God, your forgiveness this morning. We ask your mercy and we ask your grace. We ask, Father, that you will look beyond our faults. They are many. And see our needs. Lord, help us to love unconditionally. Help us to give as you give to us, O God. And Lord, as we do, Lord God, we ask to bless us. Bless us that we can be a blessing, O God. In the mighty name of Jesus, bless this word. Bless my eyes, my ears, and my lips of clay. That as I see and hear, I will speak, God. Nothing of myself, but only what you say to speak, Lord. And if I say something that you didn't have me say by the Spirit, Lord, cause my tongue to cleave to the roof of my mouth and never let me speak another word. For my only objective is to glorify you, edify your body, and terrify the enemy. In Jesus' holy name we pray. We're talking about humility today. And the subject matter is that humility, stepping stone to promotion. Humility is the stepping stone to promotion. And James said it this way in James chapter 4, verse 7 to 10. He says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. He didn't say he may lift you up. He said he shall lift you up if you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And the sight of the Lord is everywhere. So that means you need to remain humble because God can see. He's everywhere at the same time. He's looking in the north, the south, the east, and the west. I'm talking about the God that I serve. He is everywhere. I'm not talking about a statue. I'm not talking about a figment of your imagination. I'm talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. He is everywhere at the same time. So if you are humble, if you are going to be humble, you've got to be humble all the time. Not when it pleases you, not when it feels good to you, not when the pastor is looking, not when the congregation is present. Because you know we are awesomely holy when we are in the midst of God's people. Oh, we know how to walk. We know how to talk. We know how to smile. You know, we smile different. We talk different. We act different because we are in the house of the Lord. That's what we say. We are in the presence of the Lord. We are in God's presence of God's people. But no, God wants us to be humble at all times. Not only because he's looking, but other unsaved people are watching us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Humility is the stepping stone to promotion. You know, if you are humble on your job, if you are humble on your job, and you do what the boss asks you to do, what the supervisor asks you to do, when there's time to promote some people, guess who's going to get promoted first? You are. Because the supervisor is going to remember that you were always respectful. You was always willing to do what he said do. You wasn't stubborn. You wasn't backbiting or rebuttive, you know. When he says something, you always had something to say. No, you wasn't that. You were always humble and willing and ready to do what the boss said. The boss said, well, I need you to clean the bathroom. You said, okay, boss. Well, can you do this? Can you assist this body in this or that? You said, okay, boss, you're ready. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're always ready to have, always ready to do. So the boss is going to promote you. He's going to promote you before anyone else. I'm telling you the truth. I know I've experienced that. I know that when I was stubborn and want my own way, want to do my own thing, well, I still had a job. But I wasn't getting promoted. It seemed like everybody was getting promoted before me. And then I said, well, what's going on? But because of my stubbornness and my arrogantness, you know, my pride and all this stuff that was taking hold of me at that particular time, that time in my life, it was hindering me. But see, now I learn and I know better, so I do better. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God will promote you when you humble yourself. The hearts of men and women that would do stuff for you, that would help you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In the book of 1 Peter, we're talking about humility is the stepping stone to promotion. Humility is the stepping stone to promotion. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. Likewise, you youngsters, submit yourself to the elders. In other words, young men and women ought to submit themselves to the older men and women. But today we are in a world, we are in a nation, let's talk about our nation. We are in a nation, in a country where the young people, most of them, not all of them, because you can't put all of them in this same the category. You got some young people that were raised the right way, and they have respect for the elders. But you have a lot of them that don't have any respect for the elders. I was watching a program yesterday, something on the news came on, and I don't know, I think it was in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, somewhere over there. But I can't remember right now. I didn't write down the name of the city. But what was happening, this lady was going up the stairs to some government building. She was 67 years or something like that. And this young man, he came around her and went in front of her. And this is what they're doing now. And he strike her, cuff her in the face. 67 years old woman. She's considered an elder. And knock her down. It was only the grace of God that woman didn't die, because she was on stairs, on a stairway, going up sets of stairs, cement steps, and she fell back, landed on her side or something like that. And I tell you, something inside of my belly just bubbled with anger, you know, because I'm 70 years old. I'm 74 years old. I don't look like 74. So, but suppose they would come and attack me, you know? Would I just lay down and die? I don't believe so. So he says, likewise, you younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yeah, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Unmerited favors, what grace is. Something that you're not deserving of, God gives to you. God gives to you because why? Because you are humble. Because you humble yourself. Verse 6 says, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. No, this didn't say that he's going to exalt you right now. He said that he may, that's the condition. He may exalt you in due season. That means that you got to stay humble. You got to stay humble, right? Because you don't know when, where, or how he's going to exalt you. Hallelujah. You got to stay loving. You got to stay kind. You got to stay with a repentant heart. You got to stay with a forgiving heart. What you want from God, you have to give to other people. I was just thinking about a family in Africa. And this particular family only calls me when they need. And I had promised the, the people that I would take care of the kids. But I want to tell you this, that they were getting so much on my nerves because, you know, I'm a human being. And you feel like if people only call you when they're in need of something, that they're using you or they're taking advantage of you. Well, I was in the shower this morning. And after I spoke to that lady, to one of my customers, to me in the shower, and the Lord says, I don't have to have connection, no constant connection with appearance. But I had made a promise, and I've been doing this for years, that I would take care of the kids. The kids should not have to starve because the parents have a contentious spirit. They got a conniving spirit, you know. So I say, you know, when I finish this job, I will send them $200. $200 is a lot of money in Africa, especially in this time, in this season that we are in. You know, it'd probably be 19 or 20,000 keys. You know, because the money in that part of Africa is keys. Another part of Africa, they're different. They're different, you know, just to help make sure that the kids have food on the table. Because you say, well, you know, sometimes you say, well, I need this, I need that. But listen to me, you know, even if you suffering here in the United States, it don't compare to the suffering in Africa or India or one of the other places. I'm telling you, because we can get up and we can go to a pantry. We can go down to a soup kitchen, and we can get a sandwich and a bowl of soup. If you're not full of pride, we can do that. And we will get something to eat. Because it's always there. The government wants it. The government going to give you something. You'll get something to eat. But in Africa and India, they don't have no place that you can go to and get a sandwich. You can go and get a bowl of soup. They don't have welfare. The government don't give them nothing. If they don't have stuff to, if they don't have a little job, you know, sometimes they make soup. They sell stuff on the street. They sell stuff on the street just to take care of the children. You know, sometimes they have to, they get the little money and they buy some flour. Got to go say. They buy some flour, they buy some this and some that, and they'll cook stuff on the streets so that they can make money. And in a lot of times they have to pick leaves and cook. You know, they know different plants that they can pull up and put a little butter or some cooking oil in, and they will give the kids, and they will eat too. You know, sure. But let's go to another scripture, Psalm 35:13. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I afflicted myself with fasting, Psalm 35:13. And I prayed with head bowed on my breast. Now, in this is that the preacher here is receiving, feeling the pain of those that's in need. You know, like Jeremiah. Jeremiah went before the Lord for the people. But the Bible says that Jeremiah weep. He weep before the Lord. They call him the weeping prophet because why? He could, you know that that's a good preacher. When a preacher, You come and you have needs. You have needs, and the preacher can feel your needs. You're sick, and the preacher can feel your sickness. He's not looking down on you like he's more than you or she's more than you. That's a good preacher. A preacher that's not putting your mess on or your message on the microphone. He's not preaching about you. We had a preacher here while he's still alive, and you couldn't tell him none of your business. You couldn't tell him nothing that was going on in your life. If you had a problem with your spouse and you're dealing with something, you couldn't tell him. You can go to him for consultation. Because the next Sunday, he will preach about your stuff. I mean, he ain't called your name out, but you in the congregation, you know he's preaching about you. Because everything that he's saying lines up to what you tell him. Proverbs chapter 16. We're talking about humility is a stepping stone to promotion. A lot of people don't want to be humble, because when you become humble, that means that you become selfless. Not selfish, selfless. You know, you're willing to say what's going on with you. You're willing to do whatever you need to do to help someone else. You're willing. It's not me, my four, no more. But me and whoever I can help. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit or uplifted spirit before a fall. Some people are so puffed up. They think, well, you can't get me. I'm not going to fall there. You know, I'm on top of the pinnacle of the building. Nobody can reach me. Nobody can touch me. But you know what happened? Listen to what he says. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit or puffed up spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. See, it's better. You hear me say, yes, I'd rather go to heaven broke than go to hell a millionaire. Because you can't spend them. Your money has no value in hell or heaven. It's your soul that's important. So why don't we live to do better, to help each other? Listen, let's go to another scripture. I've got a lot of scripture I want to give to you, even though we started late today. We're going to put some. There's a lot of good worship on there today, though. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 57. A lot of good worship on there today. Yeah, I got to move him back and forth. I got the dog outside. I got to pull her, bring her in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isaiah chapter 57 and verses 15. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For thus says the high and lofty, one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Hallelujah, glory to God. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. You don't need to hear it no clear. If you are humble, God going to revive you. He going to take care of you. He going to look out for you. He going to help you. Hallelujah. He's the Holy One, the righteous one, the one that sees all and knows all, who can fix all that's broken. This is God that we're talking about. If you are humble and you have a contrite spirit, in other words, you're willing and obedient, God is going to take care of you. Don't let people pull you out of your comfort zone. When I mean comfort zone, come out of that place that you are willing to do whatever God said to do. Hallelujah. Stay in that place where you're humble, compassionate, full of mercy and grace, willing to help. Listen what he says here. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth. I will never always be upset. For the spirit shall fail before me, and the souls which I have made. He said, for the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, was I upset, was I angry. I smote him and, you know, hid him and hid my face and was wroth. And he went on forwardly to the way of his heart. He went doing what would please him. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. And Proverbs 22 and 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Do you hear that? But humility, that means being humble, being fearful. Hallelujah. It's a hard place to be. I tell you the truth, you know a lot of people, but most people don't want to be humble. Most people don't want to be humble. They don't want to be selfless. They don't want to be selfless. You know, it's hard to be selfless. They will be selfish, but not selfless. So if you really want to get where God wants you to be, you're going to have to be humble. Because this is what takes you there. Humility. It is the stepping stone to promotion. He said, but by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Now, that is a place there that everybody should want to be. See, because when you are humble, the Bible says he will exalt you in due season. In due time. Hallelujah. So if I'm humble, it tells me that God, I'm going to receive life from the Lord. That's what it tells me. I'm going to receive life that no one else can give me. Let's go to Micah. And that's what we're talking about today. We are talking about humility is the stepping stone to promotion. My computer is waving. Let me pull up on the set of computer here. It's waving. Hallelujah, glory to God. For some reason, that computer there is not working right. Let's see. Let's try the thing. Let's go here first. You have to be willing and ready to do what thus says the Lord. Remember, this, he said that he is everywhere. So if we stay humble, God sees and hears. And he will exalt us in due time. So in order to be exalted or be lifted up by God, we have to remain humble. Not just because we are at the church building. Micah chapter 6. Hallelujah. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He have showed thee a man what is good. Hallelujah. And what does the Lord require of thee? But to do justly and to love mercy. And to walk humbly with thy God. So it tells me here in this book of Micah, he's a small prophet, tells me here in this book that if I am humble, I am lowly in heart, if I have a contrite spirit, God will exalt me. And not only this, but I am in the very realm that God wants me to be in. I am in that realm that gives God glory. Now you see that if you see a leader, a pastor, whatever, it could be an usher, could be a deacon, whatever position they have, whatever gifts or title they have in the house of the Lord. And if they're usually very boisterous, very contentious, no, people don't want to hear from them. They're not going to bring their situation to us. They say, look, man, I'm dealing with this today, man. I need to help me out with here, man. I got this. No, they're not going to bring this. They're not going to bring their needs to you. They're not going to bring their problems to you. Hallelujah. Because they know that you got that contentious spirit. But if your spirit is humble, hallelujah, people going to come to you. They're going to come to you. Hallelujah. Let's go. Let's say we are. Let's go to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. Stay humble. Sometimes you're on a place, you're on a job that it really force you. You will be pressed. You will be tried in every area of your life. You will be tried. Especially when you're working where you're walking with the Lord. You will be trying to see if you're going to be humble, if you're going to stay humble. If you're going to flip out and become just like the world. And I hear one lady used to come on here regular. She didn't like when I talk about preachers. You know, she didn't like that. Did she feel that you should, like, you should continue with every wolf and every tiger, every lion, every messed up leader you should continue with? When you watch it, you can see that they're leading God's people. Because people, you know, sheep will follow the leader. Sheep follow the shepherd. Goats go anywhere. Don't care. Goats will go from any place. You know, but sheep are very obedient. Most sheep going to follow the shepherd. Once in a while, one of the sheep going to walk out the flock and get caught in the thicket. And the shepherd got to go take his staff and try to guide him out the thickets, because the thickets are full of thorns. He can't put his hand in there. He'll get a stick. So he used the staff to hook the sheep by the neck, the collar. You know, they usually have a band around their neck. And they hook that and pull them out. You know. But you got to watch them people that want to lead God's people away. But God is doing a serious thing now. One preacher was saying yesterday on YouTube, and says on their last night, says that, look, God is exposing a lot of things. Even in the government, people are being exposed, you know, because we're close to the end. We're close to the end. It's not the end yet, because God said in the book of Matthew, a lot of things are going to happen, but it's not the end yet. We're close. This is why we got to walk right. We got to walk holy. We got to walk righteous. We got to live righteous before God and before God's people. Proverbs 29 and 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Do you hear that? Pride will bring you low. You think you all that in a bag of chips and Pepsi-Cola. It's just a matter of time before you come down. Just a matter of time. You see some leaders, they got these big churches, and their chest is all the way up. Because they got the big church. They got the mega church. It's just a matter of time. If they're not obedient to God, listen, God will let them run. He'll let them go. Hallelujah. A fire does not burn continuously. Eventually, the fire got to go out. Sometimes they use a water hose to out the fire, but sometimes you don't have no water to out the fire, to put it out. And what happened is, once it don't have no more bush and stuff, wood to keep it burning, it will go out. So God will let all of that puffed up heart, puffed up spirit go. Eventually, said pride go before the fall. Eventually, they're going to come down. Listen to what he says here. A man's pride, that means that thing that he owns, that thing that got him, think that he better than somebody else, shall bring him low. But honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. This is what I'm telling you. Humility is the stepping stone to promotion. If you humble on your job, man, you're going to get promoted. I'm telling you, it's just a matter of time. You don't complain about, well, every time they call on me, every time we want something done, he going to call on me, she going to call on me. I got to go take out the trash. I got to go sweep the office. I got to wash the cars. No. You may think, but it's belittling you. But God says, if you humble yourself, if you humble yourself, he said, I will exalt you in due time. This is what God says. So if I'm humble, I remember I used to clean the bathroom. I used to go outside and pick up cigarette butts. You know, people used to go in, because it had a big parking lot when I was in Virginia. Church had a gigantic parking lot. They could almost build another church on that lot. And I should go outside and pick up all the people that go in there in the parking lot at night, you know, you know, shacking up and stuff, and they drove the cigarettes out the windows, and, you know, it didn't look right for church, in the beer cans and beer bottles and stuff. And I used to pick up all that stuff. And then when the bathroom when it had troubles, I used to go and fix the bathroom, take off my suit, go, jump in my jumper. I had an overall in my truck, you know, one of them flight suits. And I still got one there, and I got one in the garage. And I would put that on, you know, because it wouldn't go over the jacket and stuff, you know. And I would go in the bathroom and fix the bathroom. Well, when it come to promotion, the pastor and the wife was observing that I was, my humility. Some people didn't want to do that stuff. They didn't come to church to do that. They could trash and all that kind of stuff. You know, the toughy papers and the people chewing gum in the church, and they drop the paper on the floor. They suck in mints and they drop the mints on the floor, you know, the mint paper. I pick up all that stuff and I would put it in my pocket. And pastor observe all that stuff. You know, they're looking at you. They're watching. God is watching you. How you operating. Are you operating in humility or are you operating in pride? And then the boss man said, come on here. Brother Mark, I want to talk to you. Marcus, I want to talk to you. Brother James, I want to talk to you. You start now. You want you in your spirit. You're saying, "What did I do wrong?" And everybody that day that around said, well, "What did he got now, man? He got him now. He's got to go. He's got to go on the carpet in the boss's office. You know, he got to go. He's gonna be on the carpet now." But he called you in the office and he said to you, "You know, I've been watching you and I've been watching how humble you are. That even I didn't have to ask. I don't have to ask you to do anything. But when something needs doing, and you see it, you does it." And I was thinking of the person that I want to make a supervisor. Now you don't have to clean the bathrooms and stuff and that kind of stuff anymore. I'm promoting you to supervisor that you can watch over the rest and see what they do. There's a place that you shout hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Because now he's moving you now from whatever job you were doing to a much better job, better pay, better hours, all that kind of stuff because of humility. Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. And let's start at verses. Oh, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Verses 9. Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saith unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal with thee. I am not worthy, listen for humility, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I pass over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother and from the hand of Esau. For I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother children. And thou saidest, I will surely be with thee and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for a multitude. And he lodged there that same night, and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother. Now you know that he is coming to God, pleading his case to God, and with a heart of repentance, heart of humility, because you know what Jacob did to Esau. He's a trickster. And his uncle tricked him. You understand? For him to mitre his daughters. Because, you know, back then they mitre kinfolk. Even now they still mitre kinfolk. You know, they mitre sister, mitre uncle and aunt and all that kind of stuff they do. We call it incest. But they still do all that stuff. He went and took his stuff. And God said, look, I'm going to be with you. God said, I'm going to be with you. He said he is afraid that his brother would smite him, kill him for what he had done to him. He cheated his brother out of his birthright. You know the whole story. But he go to God. Sometimes we are so much watching men and women and people, mankind, that we forget that they don't have the power that God has. Go to 1 Samuel. They don't have the power. Go to 1 Samuel. We got to make up in our mind that we're going to be humble before the Lord. Don't matter what comes my way. Things are going to come your way. And as I said, your walk with the Lord, my walk with the Lord will be tested. It will be tried. Especially when you make that decision that you're going to be humble. You're in a church. You do everything that you can do. You're in a church building. You're in the body of Christ. Maybe the Baptist, Episcopal, the Pentecostal, the Apostolic, doesn't matter which one. First Baptist Church, doesn't matter. Church of God in Christ, doesn't matter. And you're doing all that you can do. Nobody asks you. You're just doing out of your humble heart, your humble spirit, saying, well, this is the man of God, this is the woman of God. I am going to do whatever I can do in the house to help them. They don't ask you. You're just taking upon yourself to clean the bathroom. You're taking upon yourself to make sure the pews are lined up. Everything, you know, you go take the vacuum and you run over the carpet and make sure that the house is sanctuary is clean. But you see the people don't recognize what you're doing. But guess who's watching? He might not exalt you, might not lift you up in the house, but on your job, hallelujah, you might have financial problems, difficult problems paying your mortgage, paying your rent, paying your car note, and all of a sudden he promotes you, give you favor with the bank, give you favor with the bank, hallelujah. God does that. I know this for sure. I know this for sure. Hallelujah, glory to God. I know it was time we had some situations going on. We didn't have the finances. But both were retired. And the people that we were dealing with, you know, the business, they called us and said, well, Mrs. Callender, Mr. Callender, don't worry about it. Look, we give you an extension for 3 months. And you can pay the thing at the back end. That's the Lord. We didn't ask for it. Because this is what God does. He honors humility. If you're humble, hallelujah, you're not puffed up. God's going to do miracles in your life. What he did with Jacob. He told Jacob, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm not letting you go and face your brother by yourself. God's a spirit. He said, I'm going to be with you. I'm recognizing that wherever I go, God is there. How do I know that? Because he told me that in the word. He said he will never leave me or forsake me. He said, I'll be with you even unto the end. Even when you walk away from God and decide, look, you know what? Man, I've been going to this church for so long. I've been in this body. I've been singing in the choir. I've been singing in the praise team. I've been praying. I've been fasting. Don't seem like nothing's happened for me. And you decide, well, look, I don't want to sing in the praise team. I don't want to be in the choir no more. I don't want to go to any church. I don't want to even see a Bible anymore. You start talking to yourself about God's word, how you coming against it. When you come against the word, you're coming against God because God's word is God. That's what the Bible says. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So we say, I'm not going to do that because I'm going through this and going through that. I'm dealing with all this stuff. And guess what? As you walk back out in that dark place, into the world. Guess who's with you? God. He's still with you, even though you decide you don't want to be with him. And you believe, but I just walk away from God. You say to yourself, I'm finished with all this stuff. I got some people that will not go into a church building because they would hurt in the church building. They would hurt by the pastors. And they say, I ain't going back to no church. I never go to a church. But God's still with them. He's still with them. When they pray, he hears them. When they call up to him, he answers. Call up to him in humility, knowing that they need him and that he's the only one who can do for them what they need done. He answers. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 15 to 21, we're talking about humility is the stepping stone to promotion. Most people don't want to be humble. I told the truth. Sometimes you gotta humble yourself to tell somebody, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I offended you. Push our chest up, man, I ain't telling her that I'm sorry. The pride. I'm not telling him I'm sorry. And you keep the fire burning. That spirit is like the wood that you add to the fireplace. You keep the fire burning because you don't want to humble yourself. We don't want to humble ourselves and say, honey, I'm so sorry. I offended you. Even if you didn't know for fact that you offended her or you offended him, you want to out the fire? You want to out that satanic fire that's burning in your house, in your marriage, in your relationship, on your job? Tell the supervisor, John, I just want to tell you, I'm sorry for acting unseemly. You didn't really do nothing bad. But you want to put that fire out. Now he said, look, you know, look, it wasn't you. Watch what he going to say. It wasn't you, John. It was me. I'm the one who started. But thank you for coming in and responding the way you did. He moved. That humility moves his heart to a different place. It moves your wife. It moves your husband. I know it was tough in time that in my house that I'd act a fool. You know, act a fool, not never strike my wife, but I act them, talk out of the side of my neck. You know, we call when you're talking foolish, you're talking out the side of your neck. I did. And then I'm laying in the bedroom, and the Holy Spirit said, no, you know you hurt her. Why don't you go and let her know that you saw it? I said, honey, you know, I'm wrong. I'm sorry for the way I raised my voice or the word I spoke. And instantly the fire goes out. I could see that her face is glowing with joy, peace. Because her husband had come to her and tell her he saw it. It may be her fault. I just don't want that fire burning in my house. I am dealing with several people that come here once a month. And I'm dealing with them. I'm coaching them how to keep the fire burning, how to put out the fire, not keep the fire. Excuse me, Holy Spirit. Well, there's a fire that's burning too. You know, the one that's called love. You know. But there's one that burns that destroys the relationship, contentious, is full of turbulence. And I'm teaching them how to mess up that wood that it don't even want to burn. Well, some of the people call me and say, well, Apostle, everything is going real good. Everything is working good. Since we've been talking to you, everything is working real good. Because I'm giving them some analogies that God gave me, how he worked out mine over the years. I didn't get to my 47 years and not go through something. But God tell me what to do, how to humble myself, how to keep the fire of love burning. Now we sing a song, Lord, rekindle the fire that once burned bright and clear. Because the fire will go out if you don't know how to keep the fire of love burning. I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about fire of love. Love is not sex. Hallelujah. You got to know how to keep that. So here in the book of First Samuel chapter 9, excuse me, the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, this is 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 15. Tomorrow, about this time, I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the land of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because they cry. God says he looked upon his people, and they cry, their needs has come unto him. See, when you have a need, you cry out to God. And most of us will cry out more when we're going through than when he blessed us. We don't cry out and sing, Lord, I just love you so much. Thank you for blessing me, for keeping me. You know, we are crowd, we complain. We complain more about what we don't have than give him thanks for what we have, what he's already done. The people said, then he said, and when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold, the man whom I spake to thee of, this same shall reign over my people. Hallelujah. Then Samuel saw Saul. Samuel was one of the strongest and most humble prophets of the whole Israel. Samuel was. Hear what I'm saying? And we're talking about humility is the stepping stone to promotion. If you want promotion, you got to be humble. And sometimes in your humility, it means that you have to be chastised. The Bible says that he chastens those he loves. But most of us don't want to be chastised. We don't want to be corrected. We're full of pride. You can't talk to me the way you talk. That's what they say. Who you think you are? Because you're a pastor, do you think you're my father? Who you are? This is how we don't say it loud, but that's what we say on the inside. And remember, I told God is everywhere. He hears when we are rebuttaling on the inside. When he's trying to give us, when he's trying to correct us through by his servant, male or female, to take us next to the next realm, to the next dimension in him. And like some of you all said, to the next level. Well, we can't go to the next level or next dimension or next realm without correction. Because why? We are not humble. We are selfish. And God wants to get us to the place of selfless. That's what he says. When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord spoke to him. He said, the Lord said unto him, behold, the man whom I spake to thee of, this same shall reign over my people. Keep my people. That's what reigning is. Keep the people in right standing. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, tell me, I pray thee, where's the seer's house here? He's talking to Samuel. And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Hallelujah, glory to God. Do you know who you are in Christ? Because if you think it's about you, not about you. Who are you in him? See, you must humble yourself. You must humble yourself. If you don't humble yourself, pride will take you to death. It will take you to the death door, pride. He says, go up before me onto the high place, for you shall eat with me today. And tomorrow I will let thee go and will tell thee all that is in thine heart. Listen to what the man of God is saying. God is going to give the prophet everything that he needs. I was talking to a parishioner, congregational member, a couple of weeks ago in the church building. And under the anointing, God began to speak to me about this lady. I never seen her before. And God began to tell me her whole story. Ever see you before? Do you know me? Have I ever talked to you? But God knew everything about her. If you humble before God or don't humble, God still knows everything about you. Nothing that we say or not, or anything that we've done is not hidden from God. Maybe hidden from the preacher for a moment. But if God wants the preacher to know what you have done or what you're doing, guess what's going to happen? God's going to tell him. What did he tell Saul? Y'all come up to my house, eat with me today. We going to wine and dine. And after that, I'm going to send you and I'm going to tell you everything that's in your heart. Can you imagine that? That the preacher says, I'm going to tell you everything that's in your heart. Because the preacher is so connected to God, that God reveals everything that's going on with me, with you, with us. Hallelujah. And he said to him, as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them. And on whom is all the desires of Israel? Is it not on thee? And on all thy father's house. And Saul answered and said, am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribes of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? Why are you telling me all of this? All of this Holy Ghost stuff. Why are you telling me all of this? All of this anointed stuff, all this powerful words from God. Are you seeing this stuff? I'm nobody. See, this is a place that God wants us to be at. He wants us to be at a place where we are 100% humble. And we got to watch, but as you go, you got to watch the change that's taking place. Because the moment that God begins to promote us, we forget the promoter. We forget him, and then we begin to act prideful, selfish. And this is what happened with Saul. You know the whole story. When God had to strip him of the kingdom, he was still on the job, but God stripped him of the kingdom and gave it to David. Because see, when promotion begin to take place, you got to stay humble. You got to stay humble. Now you become a supervisor, so you can talk to all the other workers like they're dogs, cats and dogs. You forget that you were one of those workers. We forget about it. Now you are married. You come to the church, single, looking for a wife. But now you got the wife. You don't have any more respect for the pastor. Go to 2 Samuel. We're talking about humility is the stepping stone to promotion. Now, we don't have any more respect for the pastor, because you know what? I found my husband. I found my wife. I got the job that I wanted. But soon as stuff starts to happen, now you want to have a consultation with the pastor. We had a lot of that happen. You call up, come back, want to talk. Because why? Their job on the line. Their marriage on the line. All this stuff happens, you see, because they forget the promoter. Got to treat the people knowing that you're still one of them. And it came to pass, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1. When the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. Then Nathan the prophet said to the king, go, do all that is in thine heart. The Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, shall thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. Now, God said his presence didn't have a place to rest since he brought the people out of Egypt. He wants to be in a place where he can rest. You know, ought to be that in your sanctuary, in the house that you call the house of the Lord. God ought to be coming there and find peace where he can rest. But a lot of times, excuse me, there's so much commotion. The spirits are varying in the sanctuary. So much contention going on in the house. People can't tolerate each other. They can't sit next to each other because I can't stand her, I can't stand him, all this kind of stuff going on. We're supposed to be brothers and sisters in the same family. God is the Father. When we are so contentious, God wants to be in a place where he can rest. Hallelujah. That's what he says. He was intense in tabernacle, constantly moving. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not me a house of cedar? Why don't you build me a house of cedar? I won't be a place where I can rest. The place is a place of rest for God. He shall be able to come in there and find peace. Peace is boiling inside the house. Listen what he says. Now therefore, so shall thou say unto my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them anymore as before time. See, God wants us in a place where we will not be afflicted anymore. Not only Israel. All of this turbulence that we have faced over the last 400 years, God wants to stop. But we have to come to a place where we are humble. We got to get to that place where we appreciate, where we love on each other unconditionally. We respect each other unconditionally. There's no big eyes or small U's in Christ Jesus. Yes, he may be an apostle. Yes, he may be a bishop. Yes, he may be an evangelist. Yes, he may be a teacher. Yes, he may be a pastor, a prophet. That don't make him bigger than you. It just put him in authority. And at the same time, he got to understand he's still one of God's people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. David was a warrior, but he was humble. He was a warrior. He had a heart of God, that God said that he was a man after his own heart. No sooner that we get a promotion, we forget who we were. No, I'm bigger than you. I'm the supervisor now. You got to, you know, that stuff. God said he moved all of David's enemies out of his path. God is great. Listen to what he said. We got to get this down to a certain place. Verse 11. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when the days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up the seed, or set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thine bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Now he was talking about Solomon. See, God is so awesome. See, because the Bible is so plain about God, and God is just so mighty, that the Bible said that God sees the end before the beginning. And God can look down the line and see Solomon. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's going to sit on this majestic throne. Hallelujah. Of God. David cannot build a house. You know this. God wanted David, you can say that because he mentioned it, to build a house. He asked why I don't have a house to rest. But David is a warrior. He's a warrior. He's killing people. Not only killing people, but then he gets into adultery. You understand what I'm saying? You can hinder your blessings and stop your blessings from flowing when you step out of the will of God, even though God can never stop loving you, because that would not be who God is. He loved David, but now he got to take the position from David. You can't build a house. You remember when Saul disobeyed God? The prophet, why you keep mourning for Saul, seeing that I've already rejected him? I've already dismissed him from his position. Yes, he's still in position. He's still on the seat, but I remove him. He's on a job, but I remove him. Because we have to stay on track with what God has called us to do. It's not about us, it's about him. God wants to establish his covenant with us. It's all about doing the will of God. He says here in the word of God, he shall build a house for my name, and I would establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Hallelujah, glory to God. Solomon. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. Listen. Sometimes you get out there, you begin to act a fool. And you, human being, mankind, will do some stuff to you, will make your soul hurt, because it's to drive you back to your knees, to your first love. When we start to walk with a puffed up spirit and act up like we all that in a bag of chips and Pepsi Cola, God would allow things to, he don't do it to us, but he would allow things to happen to us. Hallelujah. To drive us back to a knee. He said, I will chasten him with the rod of men You hear what he says? Man going to do it to you. And with the stripes of the children of men, you can go through a lot of punishment, a lot of hard times, because you decided you want to do it your way, not God's way. He said, but my mercy shall not depart away from him. See, God is merciful. Even when we're acting up, when we've turned and become foolish and senseless and mindless and all this kind of stuff that's contrary to God's way, God still, his hand of mercy still hovers over us. Listen what he says. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, who I put away before thee. You see what he did with Saul? You read that? He took it away from Saul because Saul became completely disobedient to God's way. It's not my way, it's God's way. We want it to be our way, but it should not be our way. It should be Yahweh. Hallelujah. Not our way, Yahweh. Glory to God. We've got to do it God's way. I don't know where God did. He came in and said last night, he said, humility is the stepping stone to promotion. And then the Lord began to talk to me about this. He took me back. I have these scriptures from years ago, maybe 2011 or something. I got in one of my notebooks. And as I was searching, I said, Lord, lean on the bed. I said, Lord, what do you want me to talk about tomorrow? Because we're just talking. That's all we're doing. He says, I want you to talk about humility. Because the people are not humble. You watch some of the leaders, they're puffed up, apostles. They are puffed up. They're not humble like we are. They think that they're superstars. They're Hollywood. You understand that? They want to get an Emmy. They want to get a Grammy Award. One of those things. They think that's what it's about. No, it's about souls. It's about winning souls for Christ, for the kingdom. It's about leading people out of darkness into his marvelous light. But we're not going to lead them out if we're not humble. If we all puffed up and stuff. Number one, the people don't even want to come close to us because what they see is not of God. It's of the world. We are puffed up to the max. And the people, they got a worldly vision. They can see that we're not acting like Christ. We're acting like the world. They don't want to be. They want something different. They truly want to see the love of Christ manifested in us. That's what I believe. You see, he took the mercy from Saul. He removed it from Saul. Hallelujah. He says, according to all these words and according to all this vision, so this Nathan speak unto David. This is another powerful prophet here, Nathan. Very powerful man of God. Spoke exactly what God says. Even speaking to the king, he spoke what God says. We don't want to tell some people the truth because of their status. Well, that's Bishop so-and-so. Can't say this to him. That's Apostle so-and-so. I can't say this. You can let a man die and go to hell. You let that woman die and go to hell before you tell him the truth. I always say, if you hear, if you see, man, don't let me die and go to hell. You tell me where I'm wrong. You tell me I'm accessible by the phone or computer. You can always get to me through internet. Tell me where I'm wrong. I'm not up on no pedestal. Matter of fact, I'm still on the floor. God is pulling me up. People want to ask, well, I'm Archbishop this body, I'm Chief Apostle this body, and all this stuff. They ain't going right to hell, going bust hell. Hell door right open. Hell only got one opening. Don't have no exit. Go and bust the door going in because nobody want to tell you and you don't want to hear because your chest puffed up. And then you get mad if anybody say anything. Listen to what God says. He says, when the King David, then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this is what, and this was yet a small thing in thine heart, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also to thy servant's house for a great while to come, and is this the matter of man, O Lord God? David now asking God the question, why do you bring me over here? You put me in this place now, Lord. So, what is going on? What can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them? David asked, do you did all this stuff for me just so I should know them? He began to lay his heart before the Lord. David has more than he needs. And he's realizing God is even doing more, greater things for him. 1 Kings chapter 3. Stay humble. Stay humble in the Lord. Don't matter how much you get, how much God, how high God take you, remain humble. As soon as we get the new car, the new house, we get the new building, we forget that it's God who got it, who loaned it to us, because, you know, we can't take it away from there. It's just a loan. I was at the building. These young people coming on, these young men, they're 16 and 19 and 20, 21, somewhere around 22. Guy's going to be a great basketball player. And he saw my car. My car's ten years old. Any car looked like I just got it from a showroom. But it's God's car. I always say it's God's chariot. And the guy started getting all bent up. Oh, man, Pastor Gus is nice. I said, man, look, that's God's car. That's God's car. Understand? It's God's car. He loaned it to me. And I take care of it till I leave this world, or did he take it away from me? I got to stay in that frame of mind, because once you get all puffed up about your house and your car, and you think you're better than this body because you got a nice house, got a nice Rolex watch, you got a nice diamond ring, nice bracelet, and all that stuff. You got gold TV and move, all that stuff. That don't make you no better. I'm telling you, there's still a 6x3 waiting for you. 6x3. Don't care how much money you get or how much you don't get. If you don't get any money, if you don't get no big house, you still a 6x3 coming for you. That's that grave. If you're poor or you're rich, you're still going to that grave. How do you go to the grave makes all the difference. Are you going saved? Are you going as an humble man, loving God and loving God's people? How are you going to the grave? We have to make up in our mindset, have to get the mindset that we're living to live again. That's what makes all the difference. Living to live again. So humbly, you put yourself before God. Bring yourself before God. See, Saul gets up in a place, and when God told him, he said, look, kill every living thing, even the baby. He decided he's going to keep the best of the stuff, the strong man, strongest, healthiest animals and all. You know, he disobeyed God, and it caused him to be stripped of his kingship. At first, what we got? First Kings chapter 3, verses 3 to 7. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burned incense in high places. Verse 4. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer unto the Lord on that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast shown unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in the truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him his son to sit on his throne. Remember, read about this earlier. As it is this day. Now listen. And now, O Lord, my God, Solomon said to the Lord, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. Listen to this man, humble spirit. You know, Solomon went over the deep end, marrying all them foreign women. But he was an humble man. He said, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. There's so many. He began to speak to the Lord. He said, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? What I like about that is that Solomon, we had verse 7, we went on to, he pointed this back to God. He see the people as God's people. And he sees that he cannot correct the people in his own intellect, in his own thinking. But he can do it with God leading. This is what he says, give me an understanding heart to judge thy people, God's people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this? Die to your people. So great a people. They're God people. They're great. You see, we got to keep this before us. No matter how great the house, how big the house gets, they're still God's people. He the one, I always tell people, I haven't been to the cross. Now, I've visited the cross in the spirit, but I have not been on the cross. I have not felt the spike. Or the thorns, or the stripping of my skin. He did. So they're his people. So I have to give them exactly what God says, Matthew chapter 5, and give you a little bit more than we're going to. People are jumping off, going back to work. Matthew chapter 5, got to be humble. Got to be humble. He ain't coming no other way. God is a corrector. He said, and seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, verse 1. And when he was set, his disciple came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for this is the kingdom of heaven. See, this is all about humility. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Hallelujah. They shall be comforted. See,
If we don't get to that place that we understand that we got to humble ourselves, God is not going to humble you. He's not going to push you down. Look at the woman with the issue of blood. She needed to be healed. She could have pushed on through the crowd and just grab his robe, grab his hand, whatever. But what did she do? She go down on the ground and crawl. Didn't even touch Jesus' hands. Didn't even touch his feet. She was right down there by his feet. You know what the Bible says? She touched the hem of his garment. You can't ask for more humility than that. She touched the hem of his garments. He didn't even think that she was worthy enough. His hands, he's walking with his hands at his side. He got on two flip-flops on his feet. Because that's in the desert, so they have on no floor shine shoes, no Stacy Adams. He's hot in the desert. You had to wear them slippers, leather slippers. In your toe, there's got a string that goes between the toes. All the toes are out. Get here. She could have touched his feet, and she would have been healed. She could have touched his hand, he would have been healed. But she touched the hem of his garment. We got to get to the place where we are humble, man. I'm telling you the truth. Let's give you 2 Corinthians. Mourn. They that hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. We got to get to a place to know that we need to be humble. Listen to what he said. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. This is humility. Though he was rich, he became poor. For you and I, we don't want to become poor. We don't want to. See, when you humble yourself, it's like giving up all the power that you have. People talk to you anyway, beat you anyway. They hit you on the left cheek, you turn the right cheek, hit you on the right. You don't go back and give them a piece of your mind. And ladies, you come on here. And people talk to me any way they want. I had to give them a piece of my mind. Well, the more she gave a piece of her mind, the more she kept losing jobs. The more she gave, talked to the supervisor the wrong way, she kept losing jobs. Why? Because she didn't know how to be humble. She loved the Lord, but didn't know how to be humble. People might say this or say that to you. Well, my microphone was up. They might say this or say that to you. But listen, you got to know who you are. If you are truly a child of God, you're going to remain humble. Jesus became poor, even though he was rich. For your sake, he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Well, you're rich in. You become rich in mercy, rich in grace, rich in long-suffering, rich in repentance, rich in truth. Hallelujah. He's not talking about gold and silver. People got all that stuff and don't have no humility. You watch them preaching, they're walking and pushing their chest out, bobbing their head like a doll. Because it's pride, making them think that they're better than the congregation that they're preaching to, that God gave his life for, that he shed his blood for. It's an honor it's an honor and a privilege to go behind that podium and take up the microphone. If the mics are working, and preach God's precious word to God's people. Privilege. Don't take it lightly. It's a privilege to be here today. Somebody was here yesterday, gone. gone. Their family members thought that there was going to have a celebration for them, but they're no longer here. Crazy woman in California. I don't know if you all seen it. And she's been doing this thing all the time. She goes out on the balcony and hang over in a yoga position. Some new yoga position. She's one of these yoga freaks. And she fell about 60 or 70 feet and hit the pavement. And since she broke so many hundred bones in her body. And how many hours upon hours they said she'd been in surgery. They said it's going to take about 3 years, at least a minimum of 3 years before she can walk again. Stupid! Because she was trying to take a picture of herself in this yoga position to put on the internet. And her neighbors said they see her out on the balcony many times and all making all type of funny poses and stuff, yoga position, and she put them on the internet. She almost lost her life. I said, I wonder if she's going to give her heart and soul to the Lord Jesus Christ and submit to his way and to his will. People are just trying to show off. Man, look, all this stuff is not going to mean anything. What we need to do is get closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit and commit, like Bishop James used to always say. Submit and commit to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came here for one thing, to save sinners. That he came here to one thing, not to show off. He gave his life so that we would have life. Isaiah chapter 66. Thus says the Lord, the God of heaven. Heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. There, where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? God is not seeking now a wooden building or a concrete brick building. He wants to have rest in the hearts of men and women, in our souls. For all those things have my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembles at my word. Do this word of God, when we hear it, does it touches us so deep on the inside that we are convicted that we got to do better? I don't know about you, but when I'm studying the word of God, when I'm reading the word of God, man, I'm convicted on the inside. And you hear me sometimes, I break out and I start weeping. Because the word of God, it draws you. It's like a magnet. It's stronger than a magnet, but it operates like a magnet. It draws you closer to God. This is what the word is. That's why we got to teach and preach sound doctrine, because sound doctrine makes sound people. We got to preach sound doctrine. We can't go around and try to say what we want to say, that it sounds eloquent, it sounds good. No, we need sound doctrine. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Hallelujah, glory to God. Jesus, you are so good. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, the messenger of Satan, verse 7, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. See, whatever the thorn was, it was given to Paul to keep him in check. Hallelujah. Keep him in check. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We need things to keep us in check. I think I heard Apostle Stuart say that. You need to be accountable to somebody. Accountable to somebody. Sometimes we are just doing what we want to do, but we're not accountable to anybody. That's why we act the way we act. But when you're accountable to somebody, say, well, I'm not going to do that because if so-and-so hear this or so, they're going to come to me and they're going to chastise me. But they forget that God is listening. Are you accountable to God? He says here, look, verse 8 says, for this thing I besought the Lord twice, that it might depart from me. Ask God to remove this thing from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Do you hear that? Do you want to go through? Do you want to go through? Are you going through? He said, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmity, in reproach, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. Your chastising, your correction is going to strengthen you. Remember, we always said without correction, there's no growth. Without correction, there's no growth. And see, when a correction does, correction make you uncomfortable. Matter of fact, correction upset us when we're corrected, especially if we get corrected and other people is around. When nobody's around, we still get upset because we don't want the one that is correcting us to correct us. And we go off with stuff and say, well, you're not my judge. I hear some preacher was telling, they were telling the preacher in London, you're not my judge, only God is the judge, you know, because they want to continue to sin. They're comfortable sinning. So they tell the preacher, you're not called to be a judge, you're judging people. Because they're living a promiscuous lifestyle, filthy lifestyle, and don't want nobody to tell them. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 7. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, invited. When he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to come to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bid thee, and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. Verse 10. And when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bid thee or invite thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. You know, when I go get invited, if I'm invited to a facility, house of worship or so, I never go sit up. I never go sit up front. I always sit in the back. I always have this. See, a lot of time we try to take space, and because I don't want the pastor to come and say, you know what, this seat here is for Bishop so-and-so. This is for Apostle so-and-so. This is for Elder so-and-so. You know? And this is what Jesus is talking about. He said, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. This is what we're talking about here. You will be promoted if you humble yourself. Stay humble. Go to Isaiah chapter 1. A couple more scriptures and we're going to get up. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. I can't tell you enough. Humble yourself. Stay humble. God will exalt you in due season. In due time, he will exalt you. When the time is right, he will call you up. He will raise you up. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. This is the Lord speaking. Go to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. I don't think we put that in there anywhere. Yeah, glory to God. Psalm 32. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. When you humble yourself, you can't but be blessed. You know, when a pastor is looking through the crowd, he's looking for the one that is willing and obedient, the one that is humble, the one that take the initiative upon themselves to go forth and do what thus says the Lord. They don't have to ask that person when they look around. Brother John is cleaning the altar. The pastor wife may sit, or the pastor husband said, do you know that Mary, she's over there helping the women. She's helping the women. She's not even part of the women ministry, but she's over there helping the women. Brother John is over there. He's fixing the pews. Man, he's in the bathroom mopping up the bathroom. Pastor, I said, but who tell him to go do it? Nobody told him. He's just taking that on himself. And it goes on through the time. It may happen for a while. And when it comes to promoting, pastor going to pray. He says, honey, well, let's pray. She says, honey, let's pray about who God wants to raise up. And while pastor's fasting and praying, God will drop in pastor's spirit. That very guy, that very woman that was doing all the things that didn't ask, have not been asked to do. God promotes. He sees, he knows. Listen to Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. God will promote them. This is the time God has called for us to come together as his church. Lord was telling me last night, we got to pray for the church. The church is being attacked. We know that the gates of hell can't prevail against the church. Satan don't have no victory over the church. But we have some man churches, not God churches. We have some man churches, churches that are set up by men that they call their church. And they're doing exactly what they want to do, not what God wants done. We got to pray for that church, that the Spirit of God would move on in and convict those men and those women that are running those churches and doing their own thing. That they will come to an understanding knowledge like Solomon prayed for and begin to act right. You understand? Because God is sitting high and looking low. People are dying and going to hell because a lot of people are teaching and preaching what they want to teach and preach, but not what God called them to teach and preach. Because the people must be convicted. The people must come to a place of humility. They must come to a place where they know that without God, they can do nothing. They must get to that place that they know that their dependency is upon God. God is their helper. God is their deliverer. God is their restorer. People must get to that place. The word of God must draw them to that place by teaching the truth. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and we praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for what you have said, what you have done, and what you are doing and will do. We ask you, O God, as you have blessed the airways, you have blessed the north, the south, the east, and the west, Lord. We ask, O God, that as the word has gone forth today, Lord, we know according to your word that it will not return void, but it will do what we sent it out to do today. Yes, Lord, it will accomplish that, Lord. We pray today, Lord God, for every hearer
for everyone that had an opportunity to come on today and hear this word of humility, O God, that we all just begin to submit and commit even the more, O God, to you, Lord God. We ask, O God, as you strengthen us, O God, strengthen me, Lord God, as I go Friday morning to do a job. Give me the strength, Lord, that all will work for my good and for your glory, O God. Lord God, that we will make some money so we can help these people put food on the table. Lord, I ask that you keep every part of my body operating in the way that you would have it to operate, Lord God. Lord, let me don't fall into any complications. Because my body, Lord Jesus, you know better than I know. My body is still healing. But we are feeling much better each day. Lord, we ask you to bless the unsaved and bless the saved today. If you're out there in computer land today and you're not saved, I will tell you, I am begging you to call upon the name of Jesus, because he is the only one that can save you. I can't save you. I can only tell you about the Savior. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Let him know what he already knows. But you're saying it so the devil can know that you know who to go to for your salvation. Let him know that you are a sinner in need. You are a sinner in need of a Savior. To Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. And my sin are many. Today I come to you according to the word that says, let every one of you repent in the name of Jesus Christ and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is what the Bible says in Acts 2 and 38. We must repent. The Bible says, glory to God, that there's no other name, neither is there salvation any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This is what the Bible says. Hallelujah. Peter says, unto them repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is John 3:17. And John 3:19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. Who is light? Light is Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world. But men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. See? They don't want Christ. They rejected him. See, because he give you light out of darkness. He's the light of the darkness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But they didn't want him. But we got to keep preaching the light. We now got to become the light. Because he's inside. The light of God is inside of us. Hallelujah. And the Bible said that God commanded his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's Romans 5:8. Hallelujah. And Romans 10:9, 10, and 11 says that if you confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever, that means anybody, I don't care what your sin was, if you call upon Jesus Christ and make Jesus your Lord, I'm putting this inside, if you make him your Lord and Savior, you believe in him, you shall not be ashamed.
You shall not be ashamed. There's no reason for you to be ashamed. No matter what your sin was. You maybe was a homosexual, a lesbian. You was a thief. You was a gambler. You was a dope peddler. You was a prostitute, adulterer, adulteress. Whatever your sin was. Because, you know, the devil don't know your future. He only know your past. So he always going to bring back your past to try to embarrass you. Don't let him do it. Tell him about his future. Tell him about his future, okay? So you don't have to be ashamed. Somebody said, well, he playing like he's a Christian, but I remember when he was a homosexual. She playing that. I know when she used to sell her body. No, the devil's a liar. That's who we was. That's who we were. We was in sin. The Bible said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he died and washed us and washed us and make us clean. You read the scripture then in Isaiah chapter 66. He cleansed us. Hallelujah. He makes us clean, his blood. So this is what we got to remember. So when folk come and tell, well, oh, well, I know when he was there. No, devil is a lie. You go talk to somebody. That's who you're talking to, the old me. You're trying to talk to the old me. The new me don't respond. Can't respond because I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So if you don't know him today as your Lord and Savior, I would encourage you to take the initiative to just repent where you are. To Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. And today I'm convicted in my heart that I need you, the Savior. So I'm laying all of my sins at the foot of the cross today. I denounce Satan and all of his agents and the world system. Jesus, I come just as I am. My heart is open and receptive. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Be the Lord of my life, the King of my life, the Savior of my life. Set me free today from all sin. Everything that held me in bondage, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to set me free from. I give my heart, my soul, my mind, everything to you today. I ask you to save me today, Lord. Make me whole again in Jesus' name. If you said that prayer, my friend, and you believe what you said out of your mouth, come out of your heart, you have just received the gift of salvation. It's that simple. But you know it's much more than that. You gotta get a Bible study, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Book of Acts, so you get an understanding of this Jesus, the Savior that we teach and preach about every day. Every day he's in every message. You can't teach a message, preach a message that's without Jesus. He's all over the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Or you can start to read or study at Genesis. Oh, you may want to start at the 2 Kings or 1 Kings or Chronicles, wherever you want to start, but study the Word of God so you get some Word in your heart so you can stand flat-footed. Then call up a pastor, preacher, someone that know how to baptize in Jesus' name. Tell them you received the gift of salvation, you're studying the Word, you're filled with the Holy Ghost according to Acts 2 and 38, and you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. But before you get baptized, you got to go some. They may have you go to some baptismal classes. You know, unless it's short, probably a week or so, 2 weeks or so, depends. You know, the body of believers that you're in. And then before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers. Invite them, even your enemies, because you want witnesses. You want witnesses. Hallelujah! This is the greatest day of your life, where you're declaring openly. This is not a hidden secret. This is not in the building. You're declaring openly that you have given your life to Christ. Because the pastor's going to ask you, did you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? They're going to ask you that. You say, yes, sir, I have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. You know, and they might say, does anybody here have any indictment against this man? That way, impediments against him, that while her, that she shouldn't be baptized in Jesus' name. You know, nobody answered. So, well, neither do I. And we baptize you in Jesus. We don't find no fault in you. Jesus goes down in the water with you, and he comes to put the water with you. Do you hear me today? Hallelujah. When you come put the water, whatever you do, whatever the Holy Spirit do with you, and finish,
find you a church. Seek for a church that's teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because he is the gospel from Genesis to Revelation. And get yourself involved in the church. Hear what I say, involved. Don't go and be a spectator. You're not getting saved and getting baptized so you to go sit on your pew and just watch. Do something. Be a participator. God bless you and everyone that heard this word today, and even those that are going to receive baptism later or receive the gift of salvation later. We thank God for you, and we pray that God continue to strengthen you, God continue to empower you to walk upright before you. God bless you, and God keep you safe and secure in his love. The line is now open for anyone that heard something that touched your heart. The line is open. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for the word you have given us today. Thank you for those that came on and heard the word. We thank you for blessing each and every one of us to hear, O God, and to receive, Lord. We ask, O God, as you continue to allow us to humble ourselves in your presence, Lord, that you would exalt us in due time. We ask, Father, even as we leave this line but never your presence, that you continue to bless us in the city. Bless us in the field and bless us when we come and bless us when we go. Continue to make us the head and not the tail. Set us above and not beneath. Lord, we are praying that today, Lord God, that you will make us the lenders and not the borrowers. Oh God, we are praying for the blessings to come in so that we can be a blessing to those that are less fortunate than us, God. That you, not so that we can be braggadocious, but Lord, so that we will be able, Lord God, to help the fatherless, the motherless, the widows, and help the orphans, oh God. Lord, now we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, continue to rest and abide upon us, and surely goodness and mercy that follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen and amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you loved them, and Jesus is the only way. It may be the word that you speak today in somebody's ear gate that will make all the difference in their lives. May it stop someone from committing suicide. Stop someone from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. He said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. In the mighty name of Jesus. Bless the Lord and thank the Lord for you all that came on today. And we pray God continue to strengthen each and every one of us and continue to keep us walking flat-footed, secured in the name of Jesus Christ, that we not be moved to the left or to the right. We keep on that straight and narrow path where we give God glory, give him praise, and where we edify the body of Christ, and that we terrify the enemy of the body. He's the devil. In Jesus' name, you all have a blessed day. We shall be back here tomorrow if the Lord say the same. And we are in the land of the living. God bless you. Bye-bye.